ist ein fantastisches Gefühl, wenn man einen Kassenschlager hat.
Welcome to the Serious TV Drama Podcast with Scott and Dan.
Nicht ein Kassenschlager in Amerika, aber ein Kassenschlager international.
I'm Scott. Also,
der Film ist wirklich sehr gut
and with me as always,
nicht nur, also,
the Helge Film, also, to my Noah,
bei der Kasse, sondern
the
auch
dude
Kritiken,
to my Broa, it's Dan.
Wirklich sehr gute Kritiken
bekommen. Hi Scott, it is me, Dan.
Schauspieler zur Zeit sehr
it is a pleasure to be podcasting with you tonight on this podcast. How's it going, Scott?
Yes, it is a pleasure to be talking with you now. And well, that's more Russian than anything. Wow, we'll see how well that experiment works out in the post-production.
Trust me, it'll still work better than the English dubbing was on Dark, the show we're here to talk about tonight.
Yes, we are here tonight to talk about Dark, the Netflix series that has taken a few people by storm. It's something, and it's the kind of show that you need to talk about, and it's probably one of the shows that's spawned the most questions, mysteries, and theories of any show I've seen in, I'm going to say, a number of years. Because the more you shake it like a snow globe and you find even more things that, like, okay, but what about this? But what about this? Does this make sense? I don't understand what happened here. And what makes Dark that much more complicated, kind of like what you were saying with the whole English dubbing situation. And Lord, I hope that most people who've taken it upon themselves to watch Dark on Netflix realize that they can change the settings and restore it to the German audio and just watch it with the subtitles. Because trying to watch with the English dub,
oh my God, it's so bad.
It's and you watched a few episodes like that.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, before I realized. Wow. At least a couple, yeah. And I'm serious. One of these times, if you ever rewatch the show, just find some scene where 2019 Alexander is talking, and just it's the worst like New York accent imaginable. So just, you know, imagine that, you know, nuclear plant manager with suit and tie in Germany sounding like the shittiest fucking imaginable New York accent. It's just awful.
Oh boy. But what you have a show that's got, as it goes from, as it proceeds from episode to episode, it gets far more and more complicated and convoluted and very, you know, there's a million different, you know, trails and tangents and questions that seem to sprout as the further the show goes on. And
almost, you were talking about the notes you had to put together for this one, and I'm just like, and when I imagine your notes, even though I know it's probably like a notebook paper, I just get a mental picture of, like, you know, whoever, Jonas or whoever's, like, you know, wall chart thing, like trying to keep track of what characters and what time period. I'm like, the audience has to think like that.
If what I have written down here was actually put up on a wall, it would be like a mess of string art, you know, connecting this, that, and the other thing. But and one of the real complicated things about the series is, well, it's the fact that it's a German series, so that there's always going to be that, you know, that extra level of concentration you have to, if you're just reading it or following who these people are. And then you've got, it's bad enough you've got a lot of characters to begin with, but then as the show progresses, you realize we've got multiple versions of most, if not all, these characters, depending on their ages. In not one, not two, but three different eras, and maybe four, a fourth for one, if you want to look at it that way.
Yeah,
that becomes, and it's interesting that the people behind the show clearly are aware of that, because aren't there at least two, maybe three different episodes, maybe more, I don't remember now, where towards the end they do a thing where they start showing like the multiple pictures of each of characters,
yeah,
just to like. And I swear to God, I think they do that just to remind people, like, oh, that's Claudia that was her as a child. That's right, and she's the one. Oh, because it's her dog, and blah 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 blah, and like all that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
it's a tricky show. It's one of those shows. Like, if you get through it and you've been able to follow it, you feel like you've really accomplished something, I think.
Yeah. You know, and I went into this, like, I didn't really, when I saw it show up on Netflix, I really wasn't watching Netflix shows much. I mean, I think I was watching Mindhunter, but for the most part, you know, Netflix releases so many Netflix originals now, I just kind of, you know, see them file and whatever, and I didn't give that one any thought. I mean, I looked at it, and I think I saw Steppenwolf gave it kind of like a so-so review and wasn't super impressed with it, but I didn't really know what it was about. I just kind of got the impression, like, I'd heard that it was German, and I just kind of figured it was, you know, maybe kind of like Twin Peaks, but maybe there was some kind of like monster or something, and like, you know, maybe weird stuff going on. Nope, it was a lot more complicated, not in a bad way than I expected. So I think you recommended, and maybe somebody else, and to me, and it definitely was up my alley. I'm also super super glad now that I spent so much time watching foreign films. So watching something with subtitles in foreign languages, you know, completely, you know, an easy experience for me now.
Oh yeah, it's become second nature to you, I think. I mean,
yeah,
you especially with all the Japanese cinema and everything else that you've been watching in the last couple of years. Yeah, when I went into it, I didn't know that much about it myself. I mean, I knew it was German, which already made me kind of go, I don't know. And I had heard somewhere, it might have been on Facebook, that there was something to do with time travel at some point in the story. I didn't know how big a part it played or not, but I was like, okay, I'm intrigued, because as I've mentioned on too many podcasts at this point, excuse me, my nose just suddenly got stuffed up right in the middle of this podcast. Great. I'm a sucker for time travel stuff, you know. And then as this thing played out, I was like, oh, okay, this is different than what I was expecting, not that I really knew what I was expecting. The only thing that's really adhering to what I expected was, oh, it does feel very German. So it's very, you know, it's, you know, I wouldn't have mistaken this for any other, you know, even dubbing or not, I wouldn't have mistaken this for any other country, quite frankly. But as it progresses, it really, like I said before, it keeps getting exponentially, you know, more complicated, but also more compelling for me as well.
Oh yeah, same. It's quite the show. I mean, I'd say, you know, and I think I realized it, you know, maybe halfway through the season. After Lost got done, we've had a fair amount of shows that were trying to be Lost, trying to do that kind of show. Right. And they all just failed miserably. They're all forgettable nonsense. We can't, even the ones that were okay, like that one with Matt Dillon and Terrence Howard eating ice cream cones. I can't even remember what the name of that fucking show was.
Wayward Pines.
Yeah, you know, and it was okay and stuff like that. But while this show, I don't think there's really the showrunners are giving what, you know, they're trying to do that kind of thing, and they're just like, oh, we like Lost, let's do something like that. But it's definitely hitting this, like, the same notes that, you know, we appreciated back in those days a lot better than all those other, you know, lame ass clones failed to do for me.
Right. Because beyond sharing some of the time travel DNA that Lost eventually adopts, you know, later in its run, it is the mystery that leads into another mystery that leads into, you know, the answer to this one is actually going to be another mystery. You know, it's a box in a box in a box kind of a quality that the show has.
Yeah.
And to start off, to be very simple about it, just to, you know, just to set the storyline for the show moving forward. While one can try to tell the story of the show at least a little bit in a chronological way, I feel that a show that really is about, turns out to be more about time travel, kind of does it a disservice to do it that way. And really what's at the core of the show, beyond the characters and what happens, is okay, but how does that, because the time travel aspect becomes the mechanism that really is setting everything in order or out of order, however you want to phrase it. So, and again, I'm not going to say I you know, I'm coming up with all this on my own. I cobbled notes from, you know, eight or nine different websites. I'm just like piecing things together and trying to, again, like that hodgepodge of string art in front of me. So basically what we have here is that in 1986, there was an incident at this nuclear plant that creates a wormhole that allows anyone who enters it to travel through time. But they only will travel to points exactly 33 years apart in either 1953, 1986, and 2019. Now, travelers from one of those years can visit either of the other two, but someone cannot, for example, travel to 1982 from 2015 or 1920 from 1953. So it's interesting. You already have a conceit of it. It's a time travel show, but with beyond, it's not so much strict rules, but there's only strict eras that you can possibly visit. The travelers can also go only 33 years from the exact moment that they entered the wormhole. Because if someone on July 1st, 2019, I'm taking directly from a website right now, wanted to see what it was like on June 1st of 1986, they would have to take the long way there. They'd have to go all the way back to 1953 and wait till they got to June 1st of 1986. I'll stop reading from this up beyond the thing which I know has infuriated certain people who maybe don't cotton to time travel as much as we do. And I believe you and I have talked about this on other podcasts, maybe when we talked about The Flash, maybe. I don't know. Have we talked about other shows that dealt with time travel on the podcast? I don't remember now. Can you think of any? I don't think we have.
I can't think of anything offhand. Well, maybe some. There's something. I just don't know what right now.
Yeah, I'll think of it. I think maybe when we were talking about The Flash, that inspired us maybe to talk about other things. You know, but maybe there wasn't another show. Well, what the thing that I've mentioned in the past and the time travel is, whatever you're doing, whether it's a film or a TV show or a book, whatever, there are certain theories that one will choose to follow, or the creator, the writer, whoever is doing it. And what they're doing here is known as the deterministic template. That's what they're using here. And what that means is that, you know, someone who travels into the past, turns out they can't change anything in the past, because whatever they try to do is simply going to be the thing that has always happened. So whatever they do is already, it's already become part of, it's already been predestined. They can't change anything. So, you know, the big example in the show is you have that moment late in the series where the older Ulrich has, you know, goes back to 1953, ends up back in 1953, and that wasn't where he chose to go. But he makes the big decision. It's kind of ironic for a German to make the decision, because what's the most famous time travel question of all? If you had the chance, would you kill Hitler as a child? He makes a decision to kill the character Helge as a child, because he figures that will stop all the things that happen in the future, which eventually lead to his son disappearing. But turns out what he does doesn't do that. In fact, it becomes part of the entire overall storyline for Helge, which probably is what ends up leading him to do what he ends up doing in 1986 and beyond. So,
yeah, there's definitely some predestination paradoxes going on here. Nobody be interested to see if anybody gets to break free of them.
And that's an important word you just used that I think some people forget, unfortunately, and even I forget it from time to time. Like I'm such a big deal, even I forget. Stupid thing that I just said. Paradoxes. Here's something I think we all forget. There's a reason there's a term called time paradox. Because when you're watching something or reading something, whatever, and you come across one or a number of time paradoxes, people automatically think they've made a mistake, that the creators have made a mistake. It's like, oh, that's, you've created a paradox. It's like, no. The thing that we forget is that paradox was done deliberately. It's done deliberately. We forget that because we think everything needs to be answered in its perfect little, almost Back to the Future way, you know, other than the fact that why, you know, but why don't they recognize their son looks just like the guy that they're hanging out with in the 50s, whatever. But that's kind of the genius behind them. Creators do that on purpose. There are some things that are not going to be meant to be answered. There are certain things which are almost like a snake devouring its own tail, and you're like, but wait, how is that possible? And I think I was reading some comments by the creators of the show, that's their intention for a lot of the things that we see on Dark. So maybe it's best not to scratch your head about everything, because they kind of compare it to the example of, you know, which came first, the chicken or the egg kind of a thing. And they've written things into the show to kind of represent that, you know. And some things are more easily, some things are easily explained, like the letter. Because I think I talked about this on a Facebook page recently, the whole thing with, you know, the present day, we should just refer to my year, the 2019 Jonas who gets a letter from presumably future Jonas, and he burns it, but then, you know, the next day he gets the letter again from his grandmother. Is it Inez or Inez? Oh, by the way, I'm going to mispronounce a lot of names on this podcast. Let's just get that out of the way right now. So the whole thing is like, how does future Jonas have to let, why does he do, wouldn't he know that's going to happen? Like, well, no, it's that whole, it's like a circle, it's a loop, it's a time loop actually. So that's how that whole thing works. Why he does it, I don't know, but that's why it works.
Yeah. Is that 2052 Jonas then? The guy is that what we're supposed to assume?
See, I'm curious about that. Because did that character, maybe it's just because of the actor they chose for the role. I don't know. He didn't feel like he would be 33 years older than present day Jonas, but maybe he could be, I guess.
I didn't really seem like he was in his lower 50s, but.
Yeah. But that's why I was hesitant to say 2052. But on the other hand, what else could he be from if they're continuing the conceit that it can only be these 33-year jumps?
Unless the time machine works, and then at some point after 2019, there's like actually a functioning time machine that can be used at a different time than those 33-year intervals.
Well, it's interesting. I wonder about that machine and what its true function is and how much of it, because I mean. Is it really a true time machine in of itself, or
yeah? Because isn't Noah trying to build a time machine, and like, you know, the future Jonas and the, you know, the physicist author dude is trying to build like something to stop the wormhole from happening.
Yeah, so, because right now the method of time conveyance, so to speak, are these wormholes. So it's not, so no one's actually using, you know, a device to travel around. But then we see, but that seems to be what that guy is working on creating. And then we see it's actually functioning. But I was trying to figure out what the function of it is and what it actually is doing. But I think that's part of the whole, maybe that's part of the whole idea where, and then, because we get a lot of conflicting information. And I think they do that to like, so then we're left wondering, you know, whether, hey, is hey, Noah says Claudia is on the side of the shadows, and he's the light. It's like, but Noah seems to be the bad guy, so he's probably lying. But it does seem like future Jonas is mistaken, and what he's going to do is going to do the opposite of what he's trying to do, which is interesting because they set that character as being one of the more all-knowing characters throughout the series, and how it would be interesting if he ultimately does something which is exactly what he's trying not to do. Yeah, my head's already starting to hurt. We've barely gotten into the conversation about the show. Oh my gosh. So, what was I going to say here? So, I mean, there are some things I was trying to figure out. And then you realize there's a paradox at work. There's things like for example, the author, inventor, eventual quote unquote time machine guy, Tannhauser. That's one of the more trickier ones. That's just a total paradox about the book.
Yeah.
Because I mean, putting aside, you know, the stuff with the devices and the iPhone and all that stuff, just, you know, shoving all that, you know, to the side. The fact is, the implication is he's given the book that he writes years later, and the impression is that he basically transcribes his own book and passes it off as his book. But he had to be the one to write the book in the first place. See, that's one of those that becomes, it's just a paradox. It's like, they're doing that just to screw with you. Because there's like, no, there's no, but that doesn't make, and that's, if you're not really into the time travel, if that's the kind of stuff that makes you kind of like, you know, scream.
I think it works if, like, he builds a time machine at a later date and writes a book at a later date. So, like, he eventually gains that knowledge. And then Ulrich going to the past causes him to create the machine earlier, perhaps.
That.
So then it kind of works.
That could be. But it's you still get the thing of, but if future Jonas wasn't the one who had designed or came up with the time, he still had to have the knowledge to create that time machine, which is what was, you know, in the book, I guess, to some extent. I'm not really sure. I don't know. It's tricky. Okay, yeah. So let's. What's the first thing you'd like to go on?
Oh, just fortunately, it's tricky in like a, you know, a way that's just like, it's not maddening, like, oh, well, this is stupid. It's just like, you know, we got to figure this shit out kind of way, which is nice.
Yes.
Okay, well, that's the question.
Well, I was going to ask if there's anything you want to start off with before I start, like, I've been, like, going online and just looking for things about the show, and, like, there's any number of articles and sites which always seem to center on different questions people have about the show and mysteries, or whatever. So I thought we'd look at a few of them and try to figure out, you know, our own thoughts on it. Hopefully we'll have a few. Hopefully it's not going to be a lot of, I don't know. And we might come up with things that, you know, we haven't even, that aren't on the list of things that I've found here. Because it's kind of one of those shows for me that there are a number of things I was wondering about and trying to figure out. And I will then also admit there were things that probably my brain just kind of glossed over, didn't really give that much thought or concern to, because maybe I was too busy focusing on, you know, other things, you know. And then when you start looking up things and reading things online, you realize, oh my God, I didn't even think about that. Oh, that thought never occurred to me either. Like there's like 100 other questions that didn't occur to me. It's like, okay, now my head hurts, you know. Because, you know, having the show begin, for example, with Jonas's father killing himself. And obviously we eventually find out that his father turns out to be Mikkel, who had gone back, who got knocked back to 1986 and whatever. We never really know why he killed himself, other than, I mean, was he, you know, other than the fact that he probably, beyond knowing that he was getting closer to the date that his younger version of himself was going to be knocked back to 1986, presumably. Although it's weird that he was still around for the first, you know, 10. I don't know how old is Mikkel, 8 or is he 11? I can't remember how old he is.
I think he was 11.
I want to say he's 11. I feel like they said he was 11. Okay.
There's a lot of boys in that show.
yeah. It's I'm trying to keep it all straight in my head right now. So the fact that he was around and had probably seen his younger self any number of times over the last 10 and a half years. So I never know if we know exactly why he chose to kill himself and what Jonas was really supposed to understand from that suicide note of his. So it's like the show begins with kind of a little bit of a mysterious thing, which I don't even know if we really give that much thought to as the show progresses. But coming back to the beginning of it, that was one of the things like, is he just simply depressed, or is he trying to avoid something? Does he think it's going to change anything?
Yeah, it could be some kind of, like, you know, he ended up with some kind of, you know, and I think they spoke to it on the show somewhat, but maybe, you know, like a mental issue from being time displaced for that long just kind of led to, you know, some kind of psychosis, and then, you know, seeing a young version of himself and knowing that stuff was about to, you know, he was about to disappear, you know, maybe it just got to be too hard and he just killed himself so he wouldn't be tempted to interfere with it as the day got closer.
That's interesting, to avoid interfering with it. But harsh that he would choose to kill himself rather than just, you know, like, disappear or something. It's an interesting idea when you realize that, you know, he's a boy who somehow ended up back in 1986. And there is some question as to how, unlike some characters, how he ended up in 1986, because there are certain things you have to do in that cave that you kind of wonder about, either, you know, him like going through that door, or if he went to all that trouble. It didn't seem like he would have done that. But then you get the dog, and you're like, how the heck could the dog possibly have gotten through a door? How does a dog open a door? That's one of those we'll just let it go kind of things, I think. But what I was going to say is like, but so he, that means he spent his life, growing up in this town, and eventually watching, you know, the people who would become his parents, you know, grow up, you know, not that far away from him, and everyone else he knew, you know, as they, you know, are born and come into being, and evil. That's a very strange idea and concept, and one wonders if that probably kept him in a certain mental condition for at least some part of his life, and maybe why he ended up with someone who is a bit of a mental condition herself, I think. Hannah's got some problems. There's a lot of stuff I'm reading here as I'm sifting through it tends to be focusing a lot on Noah. So I'm not really going to get into what a lot of this tends to be really complicated gobbledygook. So let's just talk about that character, because unlike almost any of the other characters, or other than maybe the guy who turns out to be future Jonas by the end, even though I think many of us might have suspected that for a while, he's kind of the mysterious cipher in this series. We see him in all three eras, right? We see him in 53, 86, 2019. Yep. Am I mistaken? He always appears the same. He's always the same age, right?
Yeah. He doesn't seem to be.
Okay. So we never see multiple versions of him. That we know. Okay, well, I'm going to address that right now, actually. Because it was something I was thinking, and now I realize probably cannot be the case. Some people have speculated, many people have speculated, that, oh, maybe we have actually seen another version of Noah on the series, and they specifically focus on, hopefully I don't mispronounce it, is it Bartosz? Is that how we pronounce the kid's name?
I think so. Bartosz, yeah.
That's probably Bartosz. We know who I'm talking about. The kid who's going out with,
Martha.
With Martha, and kind of sort of a little bit of a jerk. And his mom, I guess, and he's one of the Tiedemann, so his mom's the hotel manager, and I guess his dad is the guy running the nuclear plant now, who mentioned earlier. Okay,
yeah.
So we see a number of scenes between Bartosz and Noah. He keeps seeming to get in the back of the car with him, and which basically gives Noah just the opportunity just to wax rhapsodic about what his mission is, although he's being super cryptic about everything. And he talks about how they're on the side of light, and he seems to be recruiting Bartosz. And a lot of people have speculated, oh, maybe Bartosz is actually the younger version of Noah. And that's, you know, he's kind of informing himself, so to speak. That'd be another one of those little time loopy kind of things. The only problems with that theory, there's mild ones like, does Bartosz really seem like he has either that kind of potential for personality or intelligence that Noah seems to? Not really. There's another bigger issue, and they had to do this on purpose to make sure they can make that difference here. They don't have the same color eyes, so unless there's some odd reason that one or the other would be, I don't think they never indicated Bartosz wears colored contacts, and I don't think there's any reason Noah would change the color of his eyes. I gotta think they did that deliberately, just so like, in case anyone's paying that close attention, like, okay, he can't actually be him because they have different color eyes, and that wouldn't change. So doesn't mean there might not be someone else. Obviously, one of the bigger overall mysteries of the show is just who is Noah, and what And what the hell is he doing with the kidnapping these kids and to try to create this device? How does that work exactly? Are they simply guinea pigs that he's using? And if the experiment works, they'll actually travel back in time. But maybe it's because we find their bodies in different eras that he's able to send them through time, but they're dead. Or is he just dra or is, are they being dragged through the wormhole, and is he just disposing of the bodies in different eras?
Yeah.
I'm not clear on that, actually.
Well, yeah, we just don't have enough information about the mechanics of that device exactly. I mean, I suppose if we gave it some thought about, like, why the eardrums are getting, like, destroyed on, like, those kids and birds and shit, and
Right.
like why the kids' eyes are getting burnt off, kind of.
Well, it's interesting about because it seems to be a running motif throughout the thing about the blown out eardrums, be with the dead kids, the birds, the sheep, whatever. So you wonder because isn't one of the last kids that he ends up kidnapping, although we don't go back to it, is a kid who's deaf, right? Doesn't he kidnap a deaf kid?
Yes.
So I'm kind of curious about what will happen with that kid, and whether does being deaf mean that he would avoid that, or would it not? It depends on what it is that causes, your eardrums to. Is it some sort of high frequency sound that he wouldn't hear to begin with, so it wouldn't affect him, or is it something more along the lines of a form of a vibration that might have that
Yeah.
effect, regardless of the fact of him being deaf? Kind of curious about that. And that wasn't written down. I came up with that just now. Yay for
Good.
me. So, what, a couple other things about Noah. So, there's a lot of things about this cave and these portals and this wormhole that, we have very little information on. And so we're just trying to piece things together. And Noah being that same, and the thing with Noah is like seeing him looking exactly the same in 1953, 86, and 2019. One basic question, again, not on this list, amazingly enough, is he just simply traveling back and forth between eras, or does he have possess some sort of immortality where he just hasn't changed?
Yeah, it's a good question because, I mean, for him to hit, I mean, I don't think he can just be traveling back and forth using, like, the what's going on in the cave, because that makes, the lights flicker and stuff like that every time somebody goes through it. So unless his time machine that he's building ends up working at some point, then he can just use it at will. Or, like you said, he just, is immortal, some guardian of whatever, because he's got that big crazy tattoo on his back and stuff too.
Right, which is
So,
where I'm going with this, yeah.
go ahead.
Yeah, because you've got that, because he's definitely part of something bigger. Because he's got, I mean, other than the fact that he's like the main, seems to be the main bad guy and he's behind all this evil shit that's been going on. He's got that huge tattoo on his back, which is also, it's something called the Emerald Tablet. And you see that phrase on it, which is also on the inscription on the door, between that iron cast door that seems to be between portals. You see this phrase, it's Sic mundus creatus est, and that phrase means and thus the world was created. So there's all that. So you're being fed this kind of these little bits of information that are implying that there's something ancient at work here. This is something that's existed for some time. But what confuses me about that is I do also feel that that it's all those barrels of stuff from the nuclear plant, and maybe it's specifically cesium, perhaps, since I keep referring to that element as playing a part in like the time machine, whatever. Maybe since they never, I don't think they ever specify what's in all those oil cans. I mean, other than it being, some form of waste, I'm wondering if it's some material that has cesium in it, and that's what's helped to trigger the wormhole activity. Because it says it's an incident in 1986 which starts all this happening. I don't know. But then again, it's one of those things like just because it happened in 1986 doesn't mean it wasn't foreseen. Whether it be 33 years ago or 3,300 years ago, I don't know. It's just, oh, time travel. I love it, but I hate it.
Yeah,
Because then you have like that ancient inscription on the door, which therefore implies, oh, this has been there for a very long time. Then there's that one part, did you notice? I mean, of course you notice, it's right there. When they're writing those dates in, I guess it's in 1953.
53.
Do you know what the, do you have any idea what the deal was with those dates? Were those the specific dates that someone traveled through, or
I thought, I wasn't sure it was either that or like, or when
died?
like boys, or when the boys were getting abducted in 1953. Because I think because he wrote this, I think he, when he was writing, they show him writing down the second date in November there, and I think it was like the day that somebody disappeared. I don't remember who. Maybe it was, you know, or what exactly was going on there.
Yeah, I think my initial thought was that as well, that it's, well, it's got to be connected to this is when, but it does seem to be an odd thing to just be keeping track of and writing on the wall. It just seems
Yeah.
strange to me. And what's the story with that watch? When Noah gives, oh, it's Charlotte's daughter who's deaf, but he doesn't take her. But he takes her
Yeah.
friend, who's also deaf because she had her little deaf boyfriend. So she, Charlotte, and just so people who are listening, because I remember who we're talking about, Charlotte's the cop, the female police officer, and she's one who's got a few kids, and one of them being the deaf child. Oh, I love the deaf daughter. I think she's great. I think she's really great on the show,
Yeah.
actually. But he gives her this watch, and we see the watch has an inscription to Charlotte on it. But we never get, and we see some reaction to it, and we never get any explanation for it. So I was trying to figure that one out,
I'm sure it'll, maybe it'll come back around at some point, but I suppose if you
you
give
would
it some
hope.
thought, yeah. It seems to be a pretty intricate, you know, well-designed show, so I'm assuming they can, you know, have at least another season where it functions well. You know, it won't be like, you know, pathetic lame ass True Detective and just be a, you know, one season of
It just had to
adequacy.
take one more shot. They're gonna get a third season. Might be good. I'll give it a shot. Got some good actors in it. We'll see. Or
Yeah, well,
might,
hopefully.
hopefully.
If it have a good writing staff, because there's nothing worse than seeing good actors have to spit out garbage dialogue.
So, and also, it all based on the fact of him giving, for example, giving the daughter that watch and other things. Do you think there's any rhyme or reason to, and I feel like there has to be, because everything, since we talk a lot about things being predestined, you can't change things, blah blah blah. So I kind of assume he's making very deliberate choices when he's been kidnapping these kids. But then I wonder, then why these kids? That's one of the things I've been trying to figure out on the show. Or is it because it just there has to be something. I just feel like there has to be something to it,
Yeah.
but again, don't know what it is. And the stuff with and when we get Jonas initially trapped at the towards the end there, that seems to be an abduction that seems to be more fueled by something other than the previous ones, where it's there's almost something kind of I don't want to say vengeful, but he, I mean, we know he's aware of future Jonas, or whatever. So that's when you start getting into the complication of like, but that what you're doing here obviously can't stop it because we already know there's a future version of him, and we've already proven that you can't change things. So he should know that one way or the other, 2019 Jonas, no matter what year you caught him in, he's gonna get out of that, and somehow he does when
Yeah.
he does that. Is that the thing where he they kind of break through the barrier or something, and he sees 1953 Helgi, and
Yeah.
except but they don't switch places so much as, well, Helgi takes his place, and that's what bounces Jonas into 2042,
52.
52, 50, right? Can't remember, it's another 33 years ahead. I kept trying to do the math to see if there was a reason why they picked certain years with 30 and the 33 thing, to see if you never fall into a certain year where something of significance happened in Germany or whatever. But I know the number 33 is a very important number in general because it's got a lot of there's a lot of religiosity around the number 33.
And actually, my phone's battery is currently at 33%, so there was extra significance going on here.
But you can find things about the number 33 and everything from Dante's Inferno to, you know, Jesus died when he was 33, and there's all these things that seem to involve the number 33. So it's not a coincidence they chose that number as the number of years, whatever. Meanwhile, I was trying to figure out, but if they went to 1920, that's before Hitler come. Anyone knows who Hitler is? He's they get to nice. It's nice how they get to avoid the whole World War II thing with Germany here. Well, we're just gonna skip over that. Like 1953, enough time has passed. They're, you know, they're on to other things now. I was trying to also like the Helgi character. I was trying to figure this out. So when he starts out, he seems like he's this kid who comes from he comes from money. Because if you see him, he's in that big house. He's got that really weirdly overstrict mother or whatever. And then when we see him in 1986, he's kind of like the schlubby security guy or whatever. I guess he's I think he's like a security guy at
Yeah,
the
it's like a janitor. I don't
Mc,
know.
Mc, and but he's still in the same town. You know, it's everything's in the town of Winden. I was trying to figure out, and again, this not a question I had written down, just occurred to me. How does a kid go from being, you know, from the life of privilege to that kind of a position? And since he's in the same town and he's the same name, it's not like you can't say it's always oh, because he got abducted and whatever, and he ended up like, no, it's the same town, the same kid. So unless his family disappeared and they lost their fortune or whatever, and he's struggling, which for all I know, that maybe we'll find out that that is what happened. I don't know. I was trying to figure out why he would be in that position, other than maybe he's there for a he's there as a pawn for Noah. I guess that's maybe that all leading to him giving Claudia the book, the time travel book. But
Yeah,
then.
plus if his family's not a factor too, there's also a possibility too that his being attacked by Ulrich caused brain damage and all he can really do is lay in menial tasks at the plant, and that's just kind of what he does because he can't do much more, maybe.
Oh, I hadn't really thought about whether that would have caused any lasting damage beyond his ear, which is, which whatever. And the fact that he does give Claudia that book, which seems to be one of those little significant little totems throughout the story, because you know it's you know it's all about you know, time and time travel and whatever. At least presumably it is. But do you think he gave it to her on Noah's orders, or do you think that was something he just did because he had his own special weird feeling towards her? I mean, it feels like, and if it was by Noah, although he knows that Claudia will eventually be the person who opposes him, does Noah still set these things in motion because he knows that this is what has to happen for whatever reason? Is that because he knows it can't be? Is he creating these loops himself, knowing, regardless of the fact that he'll be these are people who are gonna try to complicate matters for him? I'm not sure how to look at that.
Because I'm suspecting that Claudia probably doesn't have time to read the book before the 1986 incident. So, if she somehow causes that, or plays a part in it, reading the book first probably doesn't, help. It doesn't, help cause that. It is probably something where she can read it after the fact and then understood what happens, and then that affects the way she's acting in 2019.
Well, yeah, what I figure is when Claudia sees the when Claudia's dog from 1953 dog from 1953 suddenly appears in the caves. And it's clearly the same dog and somehow hasn't aged a day in 33 years. That's got to be the that's the first thing that's kind of got her going, wait, what's going on here? There's something at work in these tunnels. There's something, you know, and she obviously probably remembers it as a child, you know, that were there. And then that with the book, and now they refer to there having been an incident that happens. I'm guessing we haven't actually we haven't actually seen the ensign, but it's going to happen, right? Because we haven't seen an actual ensign type.
No, I don't think so. I mean, we've saw you know, adult Jonas activate the device and, you know, create the wormhole, whatever. But I don't think that's like the actual incident. I mean, it, you know, it is like part of, like, you know, what makes stuff happen according to Noah. But I don't think it's actually the incident.
Right. Yeah. Neither do I. It's one of those little confusing things. And it's interesting that there you have mysteries on the show which I think are ongoing throughout the series. You know, like said, like, you know, who or what really is Noah? What is he really? Where is he from? And then you have like the little things that, you know, you kind of, you might forget about as you watch subsequent episodes because you're dealing with so many different characters and whatever. But then when it's pointed out, it's like, oh yeah, I forgot about that. So you mentioned Alexander before. Remember the first time we see him, he's, you know, he's that kid, you know, running through the forest. He had like the mask on, whatever. He ends up saving, or not really saving, but I guess coming to the quote unquote rescue of the young Regina, or whatever. But it looks like someone had shot him or something.
Yeah.
We never get any explanation for any of that.
No, why he has two passports and why, you know, what's going on with that? Why he has a gun when he's relatively young?
Yeah. So you wonder, was it just some odd backstory that was going on back in 1986? Or is there a lot more to that character than we might have originally given him credit for? Like, could he possibly be a traveler himself?
Because, yeah.
You know, it's entirely possible. You know, especially with the way he acts when he goes to get the job at the nuclear plant. It seems like there's a certain air of confidence about him, which makes me think he could be a future.
Yeah, he could be from like, you know, crappy, messed up 2052.
Right, which would be interesting that he'll get a job at a nuclear reactor at the plant, which we know, you know, gets obliterated at some point in the future. So that I could see that happening. Now whether he does it with the belief that he can stop that from happening, or whether maybe somehow he's someone who is responsible for it happening, since the show likes to do that kind of time loopity kind of a thing here. So speaking of odd time loopy stuff and what do you do with it? So you mentioned, maybe you didn't mention Ulrich. Ulrich is one of the interesting characters on this show. He's someone that the show is chock full of lovable, huggable characters to begin with, but it's German, so I didn't expect it to be. You know, it's just their nature. But he's an interesting character because it's your. I feel like my mind kind of changes on him, and there's part of me that always wants to remember that he's a father who's lost his son, but there seems to be a lot of reveals about him that he's not such a great guy.
Yeah, he's the whole part of this show. You know, he starts off, you know, doing stuff, you know, trying to do stuff by the book a little bit, and then just kind of starts crossing the line, and then, woof, goes crazy.
Well, there's also things that, again, there's the overt stuff, which we, you know, everything all the way up to making the decision to, you know, try to murder a child and basically, you know, bash his head in repeatedly with a rock, which, although we don't actually see it per se, for the most part,
it's... We saw enough.
But that's... When people complain about certain things that they've seen on certain shows, whatever, I say, go watch Dark and see... They did something that I don't think you tend to see on American TV shows. Like, they actually showed someone murdering a kid, or attempting to murder a kid.
Yeah.
But there's other things about him that I think if you're not paying close enough attention, or you're just letting kind of things slip or slide, you don't think about it that much. But there's more to it. For example, a big example. His relationship with his wife, Catherine. Now, if you go back to 1986, there's this whole thing that happens where, you know, because Ulrich and Catherine or Katarina, whatever we call her, so I mess up names, as I said, they're like the, you know, they're like the punk kids at high school who are a couple and whatever, and the local cop has it in for him because he thinks he's always up to no good, and regardless of the fact that his brother is disappeared, his brother Mads or whatever. And then the whole thing is that Hannah spots the two of them, you know, in the very beginnings of, you know, getting down to have sex, like in some room at school. So she does, she claims that she saw him raping her, and he ends up being, you know, being locked up for a little while, yada, yada, yada. Right?
Yep.
And when you see all that, you're like, oh man, Hannah's really just a nutcase, and look at the stuff Ulrich had to go through. He was, you know, maybe he was a bit of a smartass, but, you know, he lost his brother, and now he gets thrown in jail for something we know he didn't do based on 15 seconds of a scene that we saw. But then if you just look at it from the side a little bit, there's a thing about, we see that Katarina had afterwards, she's got bruises. And they're not explained. And I know the instinct is to go, oh, well, maybe it's her family. Because she mentions at some point, she thought only her family was assholes, and his family were assholes too, or something later on.
Yeah, I thought she said something about, like, you know, that she got roughed up a little bit by her mom or something for them finding out that whatever.
Well, I wonder, because we also see her looking a little bit roughed up in 2019.
Yeah.
And who did that? And there's that moment where he gets in bed with her or whatever, and there's just something just slightly off about it. So you wonder, even if we haven't seen it, not including what he actually does to a small child, that Ulrich might have this side to him that we've kind of not really... We might have been looking at him as a victim more than we should have. We don't know. And it almost makes you even question, like, we all just naturally assume Hannah was just totally lying about what she saw. Maybe it wasn't totally a lie. We don't know. I mean, they play it that way, but there's these little things that are, like, dropped here and there. They definitely want us to at least question things, which I think we do for the whole series about everything anyway. So the way this show is set up now is, like, is there any way Ulrich could possibly escape from his situation in 1953? Because I'm trying to figure out a way he could get out of that. I can't think of it. And wouldn't that really mean that he gets, so his character will be executed back in the 50s, because I'm assuming they had the death penalty in Germany. Don't know why, it just seems like a likelihood for them. My apologies to German people if I'm wrong about that.
Yeah. Give me a second, one of my cats, like, climbed up a ladder and I can't get it down with one hand. What the fuck's going on, cat? Keep talking.
the thing with Ulrich, and also, so Ulrich meets his, did he see his father and grandmother? Is that who he runs into? Would that be who those people would be? Because he runs, the son and, the mother and son that he runs into, who eventually look like they're taking a room at the police officer's house.
Yeah, that'd be his father and, yeah.
Grandmother, father, yes.
Yeah.
And then if
Egon's wife left him for Ulrich's grandmother, then that would also be another reason why 1986 Egon would be not a huge fan of Ulrich. And yep. His family, yep. Presumably. I guess that works out.
And although we don't spend that much time with the character, another one of those little mystery things has dropped in our laps with Ulrich's father. When he pulls up his sleeve, and you see that he's got all these like cigarette or cigar burns all over his arm. So you're kind of wondering who did that to him. Is it the father that we never meet in this stuff? Was he abused by his father? Is it someone else, someone or something else? Kind of curious about that as well. But it also might show that maybe there's a, and again, it feeds into the maybe, you know, they say qualities like, you know, being abusive can be hereditary, and maybe there's kind of a family thing going on with that. Don't know, but it's kind of another one of those little interesting little, there's something I didn't need to wonder about, but now I'll be wondering about that too. Thanks, guys. But back to Ulrich, I mean, so Ulrich eventually gets, you know, he's in prison. As I was saying, I don't see a way for him to get out of that situation. I'm trying to think of one, but since they're obviously it's 1953, so they're not very skilled in the ways of forensics at that point, the way they would be, you know, 33 or especially 66 years later. I don't know if there's any way to prove that he didn't kill those kids, and he certainly did bash in Helgi. I mean, unless he gets himself a really great solicitor and can throw out anything he's actually said, and then say, yeah. then they can show that there's no actual evidence tying him to those two bodies in the, you know, by the nuclear power plant site, and if Helgi's kind of disappeared, because I'm wondering if by Helgi zipping into 1986, does he not ever go back to 1953? But I guess he has to, because then we have the version that's 33 years older in 1986, so he must go back.
Yeah, and we've seen there's a newspaper clipping where they're wondering if in 1953, if Ulrich is a child murderer. Well, at some point after that, Helge must, you know, resurface as alive. So there's a chance. I mean, obviously he beat the crap out of him, but maybe, I don't know, maybe Noah would have young Helge not, like, finger Ulrich for the crime.
Yeah, come up with an alternate explanation for what happened to him, and that would exonerate him if there's nothing tying him to the other ones, and that would be how they get him out of it.
Okay. And if Helgi's in the room in the future, then he might be, you know, the young version of him might be like more susceptible to Noah's, like, you know, helping him and sending him back, kind of thing. Because obviously they've had a relationship for a while, you know, by the time they get to 1986.
Right. The interesting thing is, because if they'd written it a different way, they could have fallen on the obvious where if he had an absent or basically non-existent father at the time, then Noah could kind of fulfill that role. But we see his father, and his father actually cares about him. His father seems to be care about him more than his mom does. Mom's a piece of work. So it doesn't work on that level. But yeah, I agree. He's probably, because he's the age that he is, he probably would be susceptible. And he does like the dead birds and stuff, so maybe Noah appeals to him with that or something. I don't know. Anything that really struck your wondering bone about the show that we haven't gotten to as of yet?
I'm not sure. It's we've been talking about it so much, it's hard to figure out what exactly we haven't talked about yet. But I suppose if we just keep talking about the various, like, you know, characters and families, stuff seems to be, like, naturally coming up into the conversation.
Well, I mean, there's some stuff, the stuff that beyond the all the little wacky mysteries, I think it also presents ideas that are interesting and kind of puts you in the what would you do kind of feeling a lot, for at least for me. Like, once Jonas realizes and knows that, you know, Mikkel is in 1986 and he can bring him back, but then he realizes that that's his father, when he's been told that, I guess by the letter from future Jonas, etc., yada, yada, yada. It's like, and the idea is, again, and this goes against the whole time travel theory of determinism, because the belief of him trying, he'll bring back, if he was to bring back Mikkel, then he would cease to exist.
Yeah.
And if he, now, here's the thing. If he does that, if he was able to do that, that kind of wrecks this entire time travel theory of that I had mentioned at the top of the podcast. So my thinking is, in at least the way it's presented here, like he will never be able to make that decision. Even if he decides to do that, something will happen. He will never be able to pull that off because it's already kind of set. There's nothing he can do to change it. Because that's kind of the way the show is set up. It's, you know, it's kind of set in stone, so to speak, and either he likes it or not.
Yeah. Still interesting to see him go back again and try to do it anyway. I found that to be
The thing that made me wonder about us thinking about it is like, would one, if they were in the same situation, make that kind of decision? Because you know you're making because you do one way, your belief is, well, then you will die, you will cease to exist. But to not do it seems so wrong. Because there's so many things that have been, you know, torn asunder in his thinking by having this child be knocked all the way to 1986 and live his life from that point on. When in fact, it's him being there, which kind of sets all these other things in motion with his adoption, with his eventual marriage to Hedda and the kids he has, and so on and so forth. But that was the part in the series that really. Although I was kind of suspecting it, but I wasn't sure. I will not say that I knew that. I was just like, is that possible? Because I kept thinking, Jonas's dad's got to play a big part in this, because not only did he kill himself at the beginning of the series, we keep seeing him pop up. Did you notice every time he pops up, he's always covered in, like, black oil or something?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I was trying to figure out what the story is by that. One thought I had was that maybe it was kind of almost connected to like the either the incident or those cans of whatever the waste material was, and maybe that's what it is. But I have no idea if that's even remotely it.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
It's an odd choice. Well, like I had said that I'd written down like all the different character names and who they are. So I'm just quickly. Or as quickly as I can, just skimming through it to see if there's anything. If I see a character, I'm like, oh yeah, we didn't touch on, because there's obviously a lot of things we didn't, but not Claudia. Claudia to me is probably one of the biggest mysteries of the show.
Yeah.
How do we go from the woman who has just started running the nuclear plant and probably would be. Not just the most powerful woman in town, possibly the most powerful person in town because of the position she has there, just about. Because while we meet, you know, people in authority such as, you know, on the police, whatever, we never meet any politicians on the show, do we? I don't think we do. I don't think we ever meet, like, for example, we never meet the mayor of Wyndon.
Yeah. I don't think so.
So whenever it just occurred to me, we've never seen who's actually in charge of the town, so to speak. Anyway, so it's in a weird way. It's like maybe the nuclear plant almost has that kind of because so many people, you know, it employs so many people, blah blah blah, you know, whatever that sort of. But how do you go from that to what we see her become in 2019, where she's the crazy-haired old woman wearing like the cargo pants, and she seems to be like a warrior or whatever? I mean. That's a character track I'm very curious about, because that's possibly one of the biggest shifts we see with any character between eras.
And she definitely seems like she belongs in 2052 more than she belongs in 2019, which it is possible she spent some time, heard that she's been in the future, and that's why, you know, when she hasn't been around, you know, because they've referred to her being gone a long time, so maybe she's just been off doing crazy crap in the future when everybody's doing their thing.
Well, see, now, the curious thing is, if she's traveled to the future, and I grant you that could be a pretty interesting explanation for her, that would make some sense. Now, is there another way to get there? Because the way Jonas eventually gets there, it's not through the wormhole at all. It's through that weird effect that happens when he touches, when he switches with Helgi or whatever.
Yeah, it's, through Noah's time machine thing.
Through Noah's time machine thing, right. But how would she have been able to get to 2052 if that wormhole isn't doesn't travel
I think
there.
I think she'd have to maybe like during the 1986 incident, maybe she would have traveled to 2019 while she was down screwing around in the caves or something like that. Maybe she ended up, you know, a couple of days from now. Because if we're seeing stuff at the same date for each time period, right, you know, whatever the incident happens in a couple of days, we wouldn't have seen that yet in 2019. So maybe the 1986 version of that character ends up in 2019 and then ages to 2052, knows what the heck is going on because she, I don't know, brought the damn time travel book with her, and then, you know, looks like a badass Sarah Connor type because, you know, that's what the world's like then, and then travels back because it's been 33 years. I'm just brainstorming, but
that's a great fucking theory. I really like that. I really like the way that works, actually. And her living that sort of life maybe also then really helps to build up the whole opposition between her and Noah, since he seems to be this character who seems to have been from forever or whatever.
Yeah.
Interesting. And maybe, you know what? Not only do I like the theory, I'm going to agree with it, because I think we're going to get a little bit of a Sarah Connor thing there, because therefore maybe she's the one who sends Alexander back in time, because he seems like he would be from the future. And she sends him back to 1986, and that's because, wow.
Yeah, and he definitely, you know, he goes to, you know, tries to get a job from her pretty much right away. So
that's why he seems so just like, yeah, he seems so like resolute and confident when he's dealing with Claudia back in 1986. Wow, yeah. That works really nicely.
It's it's quite a show. It's nice to be able to think about things like this and have them actually kind of make sense.
Which is really something when we're talking about a show like this. But, wow, that's kind of cool. I haven't really thought about that. Yeah, this is, I'm quickly just skimming to see if there's anything else here in my notes that really is something I want to talk about or not, before we start to get things wrapped up.
Do you think the power plant's going to blow up in 2019 when they close it down? Or do you think it blows up between then and 2052?
I think it blows up in between 19 and 52. I don't think it happens at the same year. But I wouldn't say it blows up as late as 2052. I'm sure it blew up many years earlier.
Yeah.
But so here's the question: so if when there's the cat.
Yeah, she's trying to get to this thing of beef jerky I got in like a plastic container, and she keeps trying to tip it over and get to it, even though it's a plastic container and she can't get in it. But she's just been a real freaking snatch about it.
Well, see, the cat's timing is off tonight. See, it would have made so much more sense. In our we recorded a podcast earlier this evening about another TV show, Mindhunter, which you guys should watch if you haven't watched it, by the way. And there's a whole little bit that we talked about in that show about a cat and whether a cat even exists or not. And we only hear the cat meowing. That would have been perfect timing for
you. Yeah. Come on, Benji. Don't travel back in time to that podcast. Come on. Yeah. Get it right.
Don't run into Gretchen on the way there. So anyway, back to the nuclear power plant. It is late. Power plant.
They're wearing. I'm sure they wore power pants in 1986. Right. I was only five, so who knows?
I'm wearing a pair right now. Well, I don't really know what these are. When we see Jonas show up in 2052, and there's like a bunch of people show up, and you know, it's like, you know, hey, it's World War time, whatever. Do we think that any of the people we see there, I mean, I don't know if those are all youngish people or there might be some older people as well. Then again, but I'm wondering if any of these people are people we've seen as kids or whatever in 2019.
Yeah, I got the impression that the one was maybe 2052 Martha, because she kind of looked at him like she knew him, but I could be wrong.
The only reason, if it's the one I think we're talking about, unless we're saying that, well, you know what? I've aged very well. I don't look my age, and maybe it's possible.
Yeah, you and me both, buddy.
But if Martha's supposed to be, I want to say, do they actually say her age in it? I figure she's at least 15 or 16.
Yeah, I presume that they're all around 17, 18. But I guess they could be a little bit younger because that Eric kid that disappeared was only 15.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. If they're on the same age level as that's why I said she's between 15 and 16. Yeah. So anyway, that girl did not look like she was in her late 40s to hit to 50 or whatever. But it would make a lot of it would be a cool thing if that was who it turned out to be. So the question really becomes then, or one of the questions becomes: did everyone in the town just die as a result of this explosion, or did it only affect like a certain part of the town and radiate? How big a thing? It looks like a pretty big thing.
Yeah,
and there's no coincidence they kept talking about when they're in 1986, where how much they talk about Chernobyl. And how big a deal that was, and of course it was. But then when you look at, you know, the wreckage and the scene in 2052, that looks like it would be even more serious. That looks like it just went kablooey, which I think would at the very least take out the local town. I would think it would take out, you know, half of Germany, quite frankly. Not half, but you know what I mean. But you are wondering who from... we already have this group of people. Presumably, people from the town. Some people from the town must have survived. Who's still alive? And you know, and will we see what happened to Bartosz, for example? Did the nuclear thing change the color of his eyes, and then suddenly he became no. Just kidding. I don't know. Has that dog been irradiated now? I hope that dog keeps traveling through the wormhole and just keeps living forever as a result.
Yeah.
Anyway, is there anything else? I'm seeing like little things here, but they're like little facts which we obviously don't have any answer for. Like there's that thing that we see several times in the series, which is called the Trinity Knot, which is the symbol with the three kind of little shapes, where we see it written with the three different years on it, but we also see that symbol on a notebook that Noah has. And we also see it at the same time on a notebook that Claudia has. And this seems to happen in the same era. So you start wondering, wait, is it the same notebook? Or do they both have two different notebooks? You know, I'm not sure because, you know, is it like the letter kind of a thing? It's the same one, but just and they can still exist at the same point in time. But I don't know. Then again, I don't know what's in the notebook anyway, so why wonder about it?
I do kind of wonder, like, you know, just about some of the characters we haven't seen used particularly much yet for anything, like, really significant. Like, I never can remember his name, but, like, Ulrich's oldest son. I never can remember his name.
Magnus.
Magnus? Okay, Magnus. Yeah. I couldn't guess that if, you know, whatever, I can't say anything. It's getting late. But just like, you know, like he hasn't done a lot yet, so you just kind of wonder if like some of these characters are going to do something, you know, in the future that we haven't seen yet. I mean, just the future, like, you know, next season, not like, you know, 2052. But
yeah, I think also that you have that because you have certain characters like in 2019, especially the younger characters, if they haven't played a major part in at least the time travel aspect of the story, will they at any point or not? I don't think everybody is going to be walking through that wormhole, so we don't know.
Yeah. You
know, like the Magus character, like the character he hooks up with, Franziska, who is the daughter of
Charlotte.
But then, like take Charlotte, for example. Charlotte's a very interesting character, and we definitely can follow what she's doing as a cop in 2019. I'm kind of curious about the 1986 version of Charlotte that we don't spend that much time with, but we do see her like sketching like the birds and stuff like that.
Right.
And
yeah.
I feel like there's a lot more going on with her. And yes, just because I know what she ends up in 2019, I'm wondering about her then.
Right.
And what? What's going on with her? She already seems to have a certain level of inquisitiveness and intelligence, and is it the 1986 version of her that is the inspiration for Noah to give that watch that has her name inscribed in it? You know, maybe there's something there that we haven't gotten to yet that we'll get in season two. So I'm kind of wondering about that. And also, she's also part of the what do you call it? What am I saying? She's part of that bloodline that's got a lot of stuff going on here. Because, you know, obviously, well, you know, you've got, oh, wait, is it, that's, wait, whose father is he? Is Helgi Charlotte's father or Peter's father?
Peter's, no, Tronte is Peter's father. Or no, I can't keep them all straight.
Yeah, I went through all the trouble of writing them down. And,
yeah.
Let me see, did I clarify that? Did I ever write down Bronte? I did not. That would be his father. So that would be her father.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Helgi's last name is Doppler then. But then again, Peter's last name is Doppler.
Yeah.
Are all their name last name? Never mind.
Is Helgi's Peter's father? Is that it?
I think Helgi must be Peter's father.
Yeah, we know this. Just there's, it's getting late. We're losing it.
You know what it is? I just, you know what? My confusion is simply I didn't know what Charlotte's maiden name was. So I'm looking at Charlotte Doppler, and I'm seeing it as, you know, I have a teenager thing written next to her, which made me think, oh, her name's always been Doppler. Like, no, she got married, and that's her married name. I don't know what her I never caught what her maiden name was. If they even said it on the show, I do know like the guy who was running the. Who had been running the nuclear plant before Kloya takes over, he's also part of that family. His name was Bernd Doppler. So we see there's a lot of connections with that whole family. Peter seems to be the weak link, a weaker link than even Helgi was, because he's the therapist who seems to need therapy himself, it seems.
He
just seems
so. Yeah, so Helgi's father, he's the guy with the limp in 1953, then is he the one that said seeds the plant to Claudia in 1986 then?
Yes.
Okay, all right.
I believe that's the connection. Which means, right. Bernd Doppler is the guy, he's the old guy in 1986, which makes him the guy trying to get things kicked off in 1953. He's the guy who's yelling at Egon and whatever.
Yeah.
Oof. It's amazing. Even with everything I wrote down, I still didn't have everything here. Even after
there's a lot going on in this show.
My god! I hope the Germans ever. Imagine doing a time travel German version of The Wire now. Anyway, so I would say, I mean, again, this is one of those shows that there's so much going on, and you just gotta. Sometimes I think you just gotta go with it and not. Get so consumed with being confused by things. There are things that I think there are questions that are meant to be answered that will probably be answered in subsequent season. There are certain questions that are not meant to be answered. Things that seem to be more, when you come across a question, which is more of a time paradox situation and your question is more like, how can that be? While it's possible you may get an explanation, I would assume you're not going to get one. I would assume it's them being smart asses and a pain in the ass. So I would make the effort to keep the mystery wondering to, I wonder who Noah is. I wonder where this is going to be. I wonder what it, as opposed to how can that be? I'd be more wondering about where the story going and when we find more reveals about characters than how do you explain this specific. Time situation is like, well, you have to accept things at a certain point. That's the way
at this point, you know, we really kind of just, you know, we, like with Noah, figuring out why he's doing what he's doing is more important than just like, you know, the classic mystery show character reveal thing, like, oh, he's whatever. Because I think, you know, knowing his motivations is, I mean, I suppose the two things might end up going hand in hand. If you figure out who the character is, maybe you'll be able to figure out why he's doing what he's doing, you know, before they show it to you, I suppose.
I want to know, was Noah around at the time of the pyramids, or is he just a guy who's been, you know, just been around this century, you know, that kind of thing?
Yeah, I mean, you know, and obviously, you know, we can, you know, he kind of spared Charlotte's younger daughter, but, you know, takes the boy, so obviously that's because he's a priest, but still.
I can't believe that didn't occur to me.
That's okay. I get away with the asshole behavior more than you, so it's probably better that I said it.
Ah, yes. Days of Facebook pages past. Well, I believe they're definitely coming back for a second season of this. I'm pretty sure I've heard that already. So.
They better.
yeah. That would. We've talked in the past about shows and when they ended with certain questions and how that could be frustrating, you know, even a show is like your favorite, like Twin Peaks once upon, and stuff like that. A show like this, that's got that many things going on. Oh, that would be like if Lost ended after season one. Like, wait, what? No, you can't do that.
But I definitely want them to take their time on it, though. I mean, you know, if it doesn't come back till 2019, I'd be fine with that. I mean, it definitely seems to be a show that they, I mean, that the cinematography is just top notch. Whoever the director of photography is just doing a freaking kick ass job on the on the show, and you know, they're really, you know, making. You can just tell they put a lot of time and effort into making it look really nice. So I'm hoping they'll take, you know, a similar amount of time to, you know, make sure that I'm guessing that they have a pretty intricate plot laid out pretty far ahead, but I don't want them to rush it and have it be kind of, you know, mediocre at all. Just I'm pretty impressed with it.
Oh yeah, I same here. I mean, I assume they have a master plan. They didn't just do all this and like, all right, we'll figure out where we go the next time if we get renewed or not, because there's just too much going on here. I imagine the writing room has their own version of the pictures and string art and everything else going all around the walls, because it would kind of need to just to keep track of everybody. But yeah, this was my next to last series that I binged in 2017. I seemed like I was watching progressively darker and darker shows as the year wore on, which is only appropriate for the way that year kind of went. But yeah, I'm definitely also hopefully we'll get it. Hopefully in 2019, I would be surprised if they got it done for 2018. So I'm assuming it'll take a little bit longer than that. The only risk with that kind of stuff is because you're dealing with a show that has specific years, and you deal, especially if you got some younger actors, you want to do things sooner than later, because you really don't want to have to worry about explaining why characters look older when they're supposed to be stuck in certain years, you know?
Yeah.
So, but that'll be an interesting issue that they're going to have to tackle in the second season, if they come up with a way to shift that. And to change their own rules. I guess we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
Okie doke. I think we can bring this sucker to a close, because it's getting near 2:30 in the morning here. At least where I live.
So, yeah, hopefully we can try to record something else in the next week or so. So if we do end up doing that, listeners to this podcast, if you have any interesting theories and or, you know, just, you know, or things you want us to discuss on a future podcast where we could, you know, add a little more dark talk at the end of, you know, whatever we talk about next, just, you know, comment in the thread for this particular podcast, and we'll either ignore it because it's a really dumb question, or we'll talk about it. If you give us a 5-star review, we'll whore ourselves for you and talk about it.
Well, yes. Great idea to bring that up there. Perfect. Right. So, and where you can do that is on our Facebook page. Our Facebook page being the Serious TV Drama Podcast page. You can like the page and join the conversation. You'll see, as Dan was just pointing out, you will see this posted there. So feel free to comment there. And if you do have any questions or observations that you might want us to take a look at for a future podcast, we're more than happy. This is a show that probably deserves more conversation than we were able to muster for it. But, you know, we're tired, and, you know, we've got maybe half a brain between us. So we did what we could here.
And I think we produced some good stuff. So I don't feel bad about this one at all.
Me neither. I only feel bad about having to wake up tomorrow, but you know what? I haven't looked out the window. New York might be getting hit with a snowstorm as we speak, and I haven't noticed yet, because it was supposed to happen right after midnight tonight.
Yeah, the sun should be coming up there pretty soon. I mean, you should be able to see if it's snowing.
That's true. But no, I can see snow in the dark, because it's white, you know. Anyway, you can also find us on iTunes, Serious TV Drama Podcast. You can subscribe to our feed, and as we were just mentioning, you can rate and review us there. It would be nice. I know some folks that listen to us have not rated and reviewed us. I know that.
Oh, man.
So it would be nice if there's not a lot of you. There's probably only a handful of you. But I see the numbers. And while they're not spectacular, we certainly have more people downloading and listening than we've gotten in ratings and reviews. So come on.
If you don't want your children falling into a time vortex, just do the damn review, because you don't want to tempt fate as we talk about this.
See, Dan went nice there. I thought he was going to say, if you don't want your children being bashed in the head with a rock.
Well,
that's how we got arrested after the podcast.
That's why I'm such a successful serial killer. I keep it like PG, and I don't telegraph my moves ahead of time.
Okay. And you can also follow us on Twitter. I have no segue after that, so I'm just like, yeah, you can also follow us on Twitter. Our Twitter handle is at STVD Podcast. That's STVD as in serious TV drama podcast. When you follow us on Twitter, that means you get sent the links to the podcast, and every once in a blue moon, we may feel like commenting on something. We might do that more in 2018, if for no other reason than to attract more followers like you guys. And that is it for this podcast. Thanks for joining us in our late night conversation of a very dark show called Dark. Dan, I think it's hysterical that, the previous 6 or 7 months we only did about three or four podcasts. We just decided to do two in one night. So we're back 2018, baby.
Oh, yeah. More to come, I'm sure, because it seems to be fun, even if we aren't particularly well-rested.
Well, also because we're going to have to figure some things out in the coming weeks, and this is just occurring to me now, that some of our go-tos of things we podcast about aren't going to be on the agenda anytime soon.
No.
Better Call Saul is not coming back till the fall, so that's unusual for us. And there is no Fargo to be talking about this year, which after the last season, whatever. And I haven't heard when Legion is coming back. I am assuming it's coming back at some point this year, but I don't have a guarantee on that. I mean, I'm assuming if it comes back, it'll be probably closer to the summer. So I think I would have heard something that's coming back any sooner than that. So other than the occasional superhero crap and maybe one or two other special ones, we might be on the lookout for another show worth podcasting about. One never knows. Or maybe we'll just keep doing special ones like this, which were kind of fun.
Yeah, or do a rewatch of something, or something I haven't seen. I still haven't seen any Sopranos, so there's always a chance we could find something like that to talk about, too.
It feels like I know people on more than one podcast who have this running thing of, we haven't seen The Sopranos yet, and we know we have to have a big watch of it, whatever. I seem to recall, and she'll probably deny this, many years ago, or several years ago, our podcasting colleagues, is that the right way to put it? Probably not. Our buddies at Geek Girl Soup, I remember them talking to me about the idea of doing what's the phrase for it when you do a...
Introcast,
there, thank you. Because they liked the idea of having one person who's seen the show, that would have been me, and they would be the ones who are watching it for the first time. I guarantee Susan doesn't remember this.
I remember her saying that.
Okay. Of course, I was probably wishy-washy about agreeing to it, so I don't know.
Well, I don't think you listen to a lot of intro casts, so it probably seemed like a dubious concept, but I've listened to a few of them, and it's not bad. It's just a little bit less interesting for the person that's already seen it, because they can't really say that much. They can just kind of
you have to kind of bite your tongue.
It'll
be a lot of, wait for it. No, don't do that. No, yeah. That's an interesting, I haven't really thought about that either. Who knows? We'll see if maybe one of these things manifests one of these days.
Yeah.
Anyway, extending a podcast beyond what I meant to. So it was great to get together with you for this extended recording.
Yeah, very good.
It's very good. And
das ist ein fein Podcast.
What ist mein Gott? Oh, not that Gott. No, not that Gott.
Leave a 5-star review on und iTunes. No, 1-star like that Doom cough the one time complaining about podcast Happy Valley.
Oh, that one.
That Schwein may go straight to hell.
God in Himmel. All right. with all that unfortunate weirdness, I'm going to say goodnight before we go any further.
Danke. Good night. I get up in the evening and I ain't got nothing to say. I come home in the morning, I go to bed feeling the same way. I ain't nothing but tired. Man, I'm just tired and bored with myself. Hey there, baby, I could use just a little help. You can't start a fire. You can't start. Just dancing in the dark. Messages keep getting clearer. Radio's on and I'm moving around the place. I check my look in the mirror. Wanna change my clothes, my hair, my face. And I ain't getting nowhere. I'm just living in a dump like this. There's something happening somewhere. Baby, I just know you can't. You can't start a fire. You can't start a fire without a spark. This gun's for hire. Even if we're just dancing in the dark. There's a joke, here's some wine, and it's on me. I shake this world off my shoulders. Come on, baby, the laugh's on me. Stay in the streets of this town, and they'll be carving you up all right. You say you gotta stay hungry. Hey, baby, I'm just a fast starting tonight. I'm dying for some action. I'm sick of sitting around here trying to write this book. I need a love. Come on, baby, give me just one look. We can't.